Hello and welcome to the American Bankers Association podcast. I'm Tim Pinnell, Vice President of the Partner Network and Member Engagement. This afternoon, it's my pleasure to welcome Kim Snyder, CEO and founder of Clarivus. Clarivus is the banker-built all-in-one performance intelligence platform for community banks. They empower leaders with real-time clarity to make smarter decisions that drive profitability and growth. Kim is with us today to discuss the people problem, the hardest part of data transformation. Good afternoon, Kim, and welcome to the ABA podcast. We're looking forward to talking with you today and learning more about the people problem, the hardest part of data transformation.
Kim, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. This topic is one I'm actually very passionate about. Anybody that knows me knows that my passion sometimes resonates loud, but it's because I lived it, right? I spent 25 years plus in this industry, 10 of that as a bank CFO, and the data challenges I saw firsthand as a chief financial officer, and then later working as a consultant with other community banks are exactly what drove our team to build Clarivus. So again, thank you for having me. I'm excited for the conversation.
We are glad to have you, Kim. Let's just kick off with our first question here. What are the key human and cultural barriers that keep insights from becoming real decisions?
That's a great question, Tim. And let's be honest, right? Banks have both a technology problem and a people problem. Most community banks are still running on core systems that were never designed to deliver data in a way that's easy to digest and actually act on. And on top of that, our bankers are faced with 10, 15, maybe even 20 different ancillary systems that customer data lives on, and none of them talk to each other meaningfully. So data is fragmented before anybody ever tries to use it. But here's what I've learned. The technology side, that's the easy part, that's the solvable part. The harder part by far is really the people problem. And so if we dive into that, I'll start first with what I call silo first mindsets. Oftentimes in our community financial institutions, departments treat data like it belongs to them. Finance has their version, lending has theirs, credit has theirs. Right? Nobody is looking at it all together. No one has visibility across the entire organization in a unified way. That's an issue. There's also relationship banking bias, right? And I say this with love because I'm a banker, but lenders still love to lean on gut and history. Sometimes their best customers are those they go play golf with every afternoon, every Friday afternoon. They're not maybe necessarily the customers that have the full relationship with them. And so if they're not able to see that full relationship, how can they make the right decisions for that customer? And how can they make the right decision for the bank? And then the third thing I would say is risk-driven paralysis. Sometimes we see in an effort to protect the institution, some banks lock data down so tightly that nobody can actually use it. And so while the intent is protection, the unintended consequence is stagnation. And the real truth of the matter, Tim, is that when institutions actually break through these back barriers, the impact is real. We're seeing banks improve loan yields by 50 basis points. Okay, that's real money to the bottom line. And the difference here is that people are actually finally using data to make better decisions. And that's what we're all about here at Clarivus.
Kim, that's super insightful because you're talking about the reality of the bottom line being impacted.
Exactly. Exactly.
Another question here. How should leaders rethink their data strategy so it's designed around how people actually work, not just around architecture and dashboards?
Oh, I love this one. So, first of all, let's start with who's actually using the data, not who's building it. That's honestly where most strategies go sideways. Banks ask their data team to build dashboards and run queries, but the data team doesn't always speak the same language as the business team. And so those reports, those dashboards end up missing the mark entirely. For data to actually get used, it needs to be democratized across the entire organization. It has to be easy to access, and it has to be intuitive to understand. It's got to remove friction, not add to it. And then the other thing that I would see is stop trying to customize everything. That is a trap. Bankers want every view, every report tailored to perfection. The lending team wants it look like this. It has the same data elements as the finance team is using, but they want it to look something different. When you have reports that have the same information, but they're not unified together, then all of a sudden you're looking at information differently. And so sometimes the decisions you may make maybe different decisions. Also, with customization, I mean, we see it a lot. We have this conversation frequently with a lot of our prospects. When you try to customize a solution, you're 8 months into the project of implementation, excitement's waned, the enthusiasm's gone, and guess what? Everybody's back into those spreadsheets because that's the familiar territory. They're comfortable with that. And so speed to value is very, very important, and you have a very short window to capture that and build momentum.
Kim, it's so easy to see the value of Clarivis when you're speaking because it's so obvious that you're speaking from a banker's perspective, that you understand what's happening inside the bank.
No, I appreciate that, Tim. I think that truly is our value differentiator. We're a bunch of bankers that learned how to build a solution.
And it shows.
Thank you.
Another question here. What practical steps can institutions take to embed data into daily decision making? Rather than keeping it in quarterly reports or back office deliverables.
Yeah, this is another great one, Tim. So the institutions that are getting this right are doing a few things differently. So first, they're going to start with their business goals, not reporting wish lists, right? So what are our goals? What's the strategy of the business? And what are the high-value data elements that actually drive that line of business if it's a specific focus area for you? And where do they live? Right? Where does that data live? Remember, we talked about all the ancillary systems. Unfortunately, what we often see, and look, we did this at our bank as well. Sometimes banks have traditionally let operational teams make data capture decisions because they're the ones that are setting up the products in the system and they're the ones that are trying to embed those workflows. But in reality, your business strategy should be driving your data strategy, not the other way around. So don't be afraid to bring your business leaders to the table and make sure that everybody's on the same page with why you're offering a brand new product. Because if you're not capturing the data on the front end of that, you're going to miss the value proposition of the new product altogether. So I would start there. I would also want to remind your audience that the dirty little secret in banking is that every bank has dirty data. Okay? You're not alone there. This is a journey, it's not a destination. And so if you say, "Oh, I'm going to go clean up all my data before I, go start to try to use it," you're never going to get started, and your competitors are off already making better decisions with the data that they have. So be very mindful of that. The second thing is I would say you have to make data part of your daily rhythm, not something that shows up, as you mentioned, in a quarterly board report or even a monthly report after the fact, right? So the best performing banks, those that I talked about that are achieving those 50 basis points improvements on their loan yields, they're working and coaching in the moment. They're using data to have those real-time conversations about performance, not waiting 30 days or 45 days to have those discussions. And then last but not least, and this is really the big one, leadership has to set the tone. Right. With any huge change management project, it starts with the tone at the top. If executives treat data as a back office deliverable, the rest of the organization will too. But when leaders use data to ask better questions, to challenge assumptions, and to hold teams accountable, the culture starts to shift, not through memos or mandates, but through visible, consistent action. And when that shift happens, that's when it shows up in the numbers. The 50 basis points on loan yields, the 40 basis points on net interest margin, that doesn't come from a better dashboard. It comes from a lender who can see the full picture of a relationship, or a CEO who's coaching to the data daily, and a credit team that's actually pricing with precision instead of instinct. It's people using data differently that moves the needle.
Kim, this has been so insightful. I want to thank you for taking the time to share your insights. We very much appreciate Clarivis' commitment and contribution to the banking industry. One last question as we wrap up. How can someone get in contact with you for additional information?
Thanks, Tim. You can find us at clarivis.com. So that's Clarivis.com. And of course, I'm also on LinkedIn. If any of you follow me there, you'll know that I'm in a lot of places and I love connecting with bankers who are navigating this journey, whether that's a digital connection or actually at an event or what have you. So if you're at an upcoming ABA event, come find us. We'd love to talk.
That's great. Thank you again, Kim. We also have more about how Clarivis can support the business needs of your bank at aba.com. Click on Experts and Peers and then select ABA Partner Network to search the directory. This is the ABA Partner Network podcast. My name is Tim Pinnell. Thanks for listening.